for the 4 weeks now, we've been talking about all things new. And we've been talking about what does it mean to live in light of the resurrection? What does it mean to live in the shadow of what God has done? And because we know that through the resurrection, he's made all things new. He's made us new. What does that really mean as we live our lives, as we go about working, as we live with our families and our friends? What does that really mean? So today I'm going to be sharing from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. If you have a Bible, you can turn with me. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions. Paul the apostle is saying this. You were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it's by his grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your rich word. We thank you for the life that is in your word as we see what you're saying to us today, God. Pray, God, that you quicken our hearts. Let your word permeate our hearts, that you would bring transformation, and that you would have us hear what you would want us to hear today. Speak, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage is just rich, rich, rich with the gospel. Rich. I mean, Paul the apostle He's describing, look, this is how you were before coming to Christ. This is how you were. You're dead. You're dead. Spiritual death. Separated from God. Spiritual death. You say you were dead. You lived a life of transgressions and sin. You followed the ways of the world. You gratified the cravings of your flesh. And you followed the desires and thoughts. See you here. And by nature, you were deserving of wrath. You were once dead. You once followed the ways of the world. And you were deserving of wrath, of judgment. And then he gives you this new picture. He said, in Christ Jesus, you are saved. You are rescued. You are different. You are a new person. You are raised up with Christ. You are made alive in Christ. If you look at that path, he kept saying, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, you are made alive, saved by his grace. And it was not by anything you have done. It's not by your good works. Nothing that you've, it's a gift. God just freely, freely gave this to us in Christ. He not only did that, if you look in the passage, he's like, yeah, you were made alive, you were rescued, you were raised up from the dead, but now you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. That's a new position, a new status, a new status, a new seat. Once deserving of death, now you're seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. Wow. That's what Paul is telling us. That's what Paul is telling. Different. Just such a stark difference what Christ has done for us. Now, just imagine with me, for example, just give you a quick example. Imagine for me, you worked at this big, large company. Billions and billions of dollars coming in. Let's say Apple, for example. The second most valuable company in the whole world, right? Billions of dollars coming in. But let's just say that you're working in the stock room in one of the, you know, retail stores. Just in the back, just doing what you do every day. Just stocking in the iPads, the Mac Pros, wishing you had one of them, you know. Just stocking, like, probably getting paid like minimum wage, stocking them. That's all you're doing. No one knows your name. Even the manager that works for the store, he hardly remembers your name, only when you do something wrong. Then he remembers your name. Just imagine. But imagine now if Tim Cook, the CEO, walks in. He passes all the people who have the limelight, you know, the manager. He passes everyone. And he goes to the back room. And he says, you, I choose you to be my co-CEO. You're not going to work. You're going to work with me. Not for me, with me. You're going to share all I have. Share the money. Make the same money I have, that I make. Fly the same jet plane that I just imagine. You're like, Tim Cook is coming to you right now, and he's telling me all this. You know, I'm like, what? Okay, first of all, is this a prank? You know, so, I mean, legitimately, you're going to think that. Is this a prank? Like, no, wait, I don't, my resume does not match what he's giving me. I don't have the education. I don't have the experience. I don't have the qualification at all. It doesn't, so why would he give this to me? But he freely gives, he's like, yeah, come with me. We're going to California. Honestly, that's probably never going to happen. So you can just trash that. Just put it in your dustbin. It's not going to happen. Sorry. It doesn't work that way. But in Christ, we have something so much better. In Christ, we have something so much better. I mean, I know it's hard to imagine because you're like, wait, Tim Cook? Oh, Christ Jesus, that just sounds very heavenly and pretty. I'm telling you, in Christ, you have something better. You have a new status, a new position. A new status, a new position. You were once deserving of death, and now you're seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. Better status, a better position, better than whatever man can give you, better than whatever your boss can give you, whatever promotion you can get, whatever cars you can get. It's so much better, so much better. But you know something that's unique about this status that you have in Christ? It's absolutely meaningless in the world's eyes. It doesn't make sense to them. Absolutely meaningless. The world will judge you by your appearance, how good looking you are, like myself. Joke. I'm just joking. Drew's prettier. He's much good looking than I am. But yeah, the world will judge you by how you look, how thin you look, how fit you look. Did you exercise today? The world will judge you by how extroverted you are, your social intelligence, how charming you are, how you're able to sweep the room. Like, yeah, I want to be with that guy. The world will judge you by those outwardly characteristics. Not with Christ. You can be homeless. You're still accepted in Christ Jesus. You could be unemployed. You're accepted in Christ Jesus. You can have no education whatsoever. Zero in your savings account. Yeah, you're accepted in Christ Jesus. This is purely based on God's mercy. I just want to read that again. I want us to get this. Read that passage in verse 4. It says, because of his great love for us, because of his love, God, who is rich, bountiful in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in sin and transgressions. For it is by his grace you have been saved. Yeah, you've heard this. Yeah, by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm. New status, new position in Christ Jesus. But the one thing that ached me about this passage, one thing that was burning in my heart, I kept thinking, I'm like, wait, you say, okay, God, yeah, you say I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. It's beautiful. It's like, yeah, then it looks great. But when I look at my life, I don't feel like I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. Sometimes I feel like gratifying the cravings of my flesh. Sometimes I feel like following my thoughts and my desires. Sometimes I feel like wallowing in my pain and my sadness and my shame. Yeah, it doesn't match. I don't get it. Sounds beautiful. Sounds euphoric. It's awesome. But my life just somehow doesn't seem to match. You could probably say the same thing. I have a job you don't like. You're like, yeah, I don't feel like I'm seated with Christ. You're single. I don't feel like I'm seated with Christ. You're married and you wish you were single. I don't feel like I'm seated with Christ. It just doesn't match. Even Paul the Apostle, who wrote this passage, if you read in Corinthians, he was talking about how he was tortured, he was beaten, he was flogged, he was thrown in the dungeon, he was naked, he was hungry, imprisoned. And for some reason, he can say that I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. Yeah, okay. Thank you. You can keep that. It just doesn't match. This actually reminds me of an experience I have in after college. I was still trying to figure out what I was going to do. I felt like God was calling me to vocational ministry, but I wasn't sure. So I was like, I'm going to try something. So I just said, let me work for a little bit. An acquaintance helped me find a job, and I worked at a law firm, international law firm in the city. But sadly, I was working as the file clerk. So yeah, I was the stock person. I was stocking the files, the money, the things that generates them money. Yeah, I was doing that. Just like, okay, this sucks. If someone were to come and ask me, hey, so Craig, what do you do? I'm working. Yeah, you know, like I would not tell them what I do because I was so ashamed and so embarrassed. If someone were to ask me, so what do you feel like doing in the future? Oh, I feel like God is calling me to missions, you know, something beautiful so that they can feel, oh, yeah, you're a good man. You're a good man. But really, I had no idea. I just felt ashamed. I felt embarrassed. And I kept telling God, but God, I don't deserve this. I deserve better. I have brains. I can... I'm smart enough. Why am I working in this job, this dead-end job? I remember just crying, like, I don't deserve this. I'm angry at you, God. Curse you. I didn't say that, but it's close. I deserve better. I deserve more. I look at my friends. They have more. They have more stuff, but I'm here, stuck here. I deserve more. Yeah. As I look back, though, I think there's something wrong with that thinking. Something perverse about that thinking. Something wrong. And honestly, I think it's because it's our perception of what we think status is. Our perception has been marred by the decay of this world. It's been marred by evil of this world. When we think of status, we think of, again, how many friends do I have? How much do I make? That's how we think of status. When I think of status, I think of all the likes I have on my Instagram page. How many like? You know, let's see. Oh, yeah, they like this. They like me. Oh, I think of the picture most people would like. Now I'll post it. We think of status that way, just being liked by everyone, being loved by everyone. That's how we think of status. Even at a young age, I mean, if you have kids here, well, when you think back when you were a kid, one of the first things, like kids, they like to do, oh, I got dibs on that first. You know, your mom puts food on the table, that's mine. Oh, the biggest is mine. You know, I used to do that, actually. The biggest is mine. I'm going to eat that. I have shotgun. Kids would do that. If you see movies, Disney Channel, they're always geared towards, you know, this rationale of backstabbing each other and you know, trying to make it to the top. So you know what? I'm going to backstab you because, you know, I deserve that number one spot. I'm the homecoming queen, right? I deserve to be valedictorian. I deserve that job. It's mine. I deserve that house. It's mine. Even that very idea of being the co-CEO with Tim Cook, even that is ridden with perverse thinking of status. Because we want power. We want to be known. We want to be loved by people. We want to be loved and known. But what does Christ do? Christ comes down. Christ comes down. God made man. God who put on flesh, he came down to earth. That's what Christ did for us. That's what Christ did for us. Philippians 2 just explains this so well. It's like being in the very nature of God. He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Christ came down. God came down. He took the very nature of a servant. To be seated with Christ is to take the very nature of a servant. It's not how we think of status. It's not how the world thinks of status and power. To be seated in that position high up in the heavenly realm is to come and take the nature of a servant. I mean, if you look at the disciples when they were with Jesus, there's a passage where it talks about James and John, you know, the two fighters. They were talking about, oh, who got Jesus? Who's going to sit with you? Who's going to sit in your left hand and your right hand when you come in your power and your glory? When you, you know, when you come again and your kingdom is here and because we believe that Jesus Christ will come again and he's going to new earth, new heaven with Jesus reigning over all the earth. And the disciples were arguing, who's going to be your second in command? Who's going to be the most known person after you? This is what Jesus says to them. He says, you know those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. What is he saying? It's like the world. You know how we think of power and status? They lord over people. How we think of status is prestige, being known, the exercise authority over people. But he says, not so with you. Not so, not my seat. If you want to be seated next to me, this seat I have for you is this. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be the slave of all, the servant of all. Whoever wants to be great, whoever wants to take my seat next to me, it's like, I've given you this seat. I've given you this status. But this status is not what you think. It's not how the world thinks. No. It's to be the servant of all. That's the seat you have. That's the status you have. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Christ himself is our example. Christ himself, he's paved the way and he has opened the way for you. It's like, yeah, this is my seat. This is the seat I have for you. This is the status I have for you. It's upside down. It's so inverted. It's upside down. Donald Crable, in his book, Upside Down Kingdom, he says this. It says, in God's inverted kingdom, greatness is signified by our willingness to serve. And service to others becomes the yardstick of stature in the new kingdom. That's what greatness is. That's what status is. Your willingness to serve. Your willingness to serve. So then what does that mean for our lives then? How does this affect our lives? To be seated with Christ, Craig, you're telling me that, oh, okay, my seat with Christ means that I must be willing to serve, okay? That I must be a servant of all, yes? That's the status, yes. That's the status we all have in Christ Jesus. So then when we approach our careers, what do we look for? Do we look for money? Do we look for, oh, what's the thing that would get me the most or make me most known? Do we look for prestige? No, Christ is telling us, no, that's not what you look for. That's not what you look for. You want to seek to embody Christ's love to the whole world. That's what you look for. Where is the position God has for me where I can serve and I could be the best that God has made me to be? Not money. Not prestige. No. Embody Christ to the world. You know, when I think about, I think, okay, who in my life has embodied that this? Because obviously I'm terrible. I can't do this. I mean, we're all, obviously, it's something we're all seeking to do. I mean, God really spoke to me through this message. But I was thinking also about who in my life embodies this. Immediately, I think of my parents. I think of my parents. I mean, they both met. My mom, my dad, they met here in Houston, Texas. Got married. My dad finished his education in accounting and finance. But he decided to go back, take the family back to Nigeria because he wanted to start a business there. But, you know, because of the corruption and the way the government just rules there, and yeah, things didn't work out. My mom is bowing her head. She's like, I don't want to hear this. Sorry. But yeah. So we came back. Came back to the U.S. Because they wanted a better education for us and wanted to start all over again, pretty much. And I remember, you know, just every day, every every night at 8 p.m., it's time for prayer, you know. Like, oh. And as kids, you're like, okay, you know, I'm not even that interested, but fine, we'll pray. And I would see my dad just there, just leading us, you know, in prayer. And whenever it's going to be this long prayer, we would all know it because he would stand up. He's like, okay, let's all stand up. it's going to be a long night. Let's just go through this one. But this is what they did. Every day, 8 p.m., would pray. So, yeah, that's what they did. And you have no idea how much that impacted my life. Because I know God is real, you know? I know it's true. Because they did this for us, day in, day out. Yeah, we came back here and things didn't go the way we want because, you know, immigration and all that stuff. And my dad couldn't, just imagine. He has a master's in accounting and finance and all of a sudden he has to do this low, menial job. Same as my mom. Has a master's. Slow, menial job. But each night, we would pray, 8 p.m., day in, day out. For me, they embodied what it means to be a servant. Because, you know, it's not about what people think. It's not about what people say about you. It's not about how much you make. No, it's your willingness to serve, taking the nature of a servant. And I saw that with my parents. I even look at Paul. Again, remember I said, Paul, wait, how can you say this? Your life looks like hell, honestly. You're going through a lot of stuff. And yet you're saying, oh, I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. Why is that? Why would Paul say something like that? It's like, no, I always seek to know Christ, know his ways, and participate in his sufferings and know him and the power of his resurrection. Yes, I want to know everything about Christ. And Paul is here telling us, you want to know Christ? This seat is not what you think. It's taking the nature of a servant. It's leaving the prestige, the power, and taking the nature of a servant. So then what does it look like to be a servant for you in your life, in your workplace, in your homes, in your relationships, in your marriages? What does that look like, really? I mean, the world tells us, you want to get ahead? Run over people. Backstab them, right? You might not do it overtly, just do very subtle, and get ahead. What is Christ telling us? No, serve your coworkers. Serve your bosses, even when they do you wrong. Serve them. It's not saying be a pushover or let them just, you know, run over you. No, it's not saying that. It's saying just with a heart of a servant. What would a servant do when he's being pushed over? What would a servant do? What would you do? What would Christ do? Take the nature of a servant. In your homes, probably had a hard day at work. And you come home and you just totally disengage from all your responsibilities and all your chores. Like, no, I'm tired. Is that what the nature of a servant, is that what someone would do? Is that where Christ has put us? No. You engage in the tough conversations. You engage with your family. Some of you here, you have drives and ambitions. You want to be successful. God wants you to be successful. God wants you to make money so you can pay your tithes. Yeah. Joke. Okay. Sorry, Drew. It's a joke. But no, God does. He does want you to be successful. He wants the best for you. But your ambitions and your drive must come under the purview of Christ. Not out of selfish ambitions. Not out of stabbing people. No, it's under the purview of Christ. This status you have is totally different from how the world would lead you. In your marriage, yeah, you might make more money than your husband or your wife. Does that make you, give you the right to demean them? No. No, you serve them. You lift them up. You encourage them. You don't demean them in any way, but no, you serve, encourage, lift them up. Seek counseling. How's God calling us to respond today? I just feel like this is important to know that even this status, like I said, is inverted. It's different, right? But when Christ died for us, when he resurrected for us, this is what happened. He says, now you've been exalted above all powers, above all sins, above all darkness, above all, Christ has been exalted. Where do you think you are now? You've been exalted with Christ, and you've been exalted over sins, over your flesh, over the world. You've been exalted over darkness, over demons, over powers. You yourself have been exalted. Now, taking the nature of a servant, it's not an easy fit, but through the power of Christ in you, through the power of resurrection in you, you can walk the same path that Christ has walked. You can do it. You can do it. Because Christ has been exalted, and you yourself have been exalted with him.